Okay, should be quarter past. I don't know if the clock here is the same as my clock. Mine is has been newly calibrated when we went over to summertime, so I think it's quite accurate. Perhaps this is still 1 hour. You never know. You will see when you try the recording. So the last thing we were doing is considering what kind of curve we will have for this table of the effect of security level and growth rate. And this is a beneficial effect. The better the security, the more impact it will have. We express this as a number between 0 and 1. And we agree that we will have to begin with little impact. Then as you invest more in security, you see marked gains. Then when you are coming to the maximal security, then it will simply become a flatter development, the law of diminishing returns. We also agree that in this MPIM model, the way to account for investment in security has a price is by assuming that when you invest in full security, you are a little bit below than the full growth rate that you will have achieved in a perfect world, where investment in security costs nothing. So now, I don't know what that was. Now we will concentrate on this table and how to create it. So you have the model. Now you should click on equations. You should click on this table. And to create the table, the first thing you have to do is to have here as a type the lookup. Originally, what you will have there is a constant, but you should have lookup. Okay? So please open this diagram here, this drop-down menu, and select lookup. We are under type. This is the drop-down menu. You select lookup. Okay? And then there will be nothing here. And this is what you need to put into, where there is nothing. But we will not put this horrible range of numbers. I understand what it means. I suppose you will be utterly confused. Rather, you should click as graph here. And that's the kind of graph that we would like to create, which is basically this one. Okay? And now I will show you how to do that. So I assume that you have seen this here, but you don't see the numbers yet, and so the first thing I would like you to do is to put an one here for the maximum of x. The reason is the input that we are going to use is the security level, and it should go from 0 to 1. You have there 10, but put 1 and click somewhere else so that you have the 1. Similarly, for the y, the effect, it should also be within 0 and 1. So here you have 0, that's okay. Here you can have 1, or perhaps a little bit higher than 1. It's up to you. If you put 1, it looks like this. Should be enough. And then, once you have adjusted the scales, you start here, put number 0, use the tab to the right, the one you use to create an indent, put the number 0, tab again, put 0.1, tab again, put 0.0003, and so on. So you do this using the tab. On the above the tab caps lock, there is a tab that you use to create indents. So that's a possibility. Or you can simply use the mouse. As I told you somewhere last time, you can in principle draw this curve. But it's very difficult to hit on exact scales and so on. So please put in this scale yourself as you are seeing. Are you able to see the numbers from there?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. So put in the numbers so that you get this shape. And tell me when you have finished. You can move these numbers even with the mouse, so I could do like this, put it here, but then I change this number, so I put now 0.5, something like this. So how far are you? Have you finished now?
Yes.
Everybody has finished. Okay. Then by clicking OK, you are back to the numbers. And these numbers, you can also understand. The beginning tells you about the scales. It says 0, 0 to 1, 1 for both X and Y. And then it says for the point 0, you get the value 0. For the point 0.1, you get the value 0.03, and so on until the end. When you have full security level 1, you get 0.9. That's it, what it says. The table to begin with, if we click now, okay, the table to begin with is a function. It doesn't say what the X is. But the X comes here through the security level. Because when you define the equation for the growth rate, remember, it says the growth rate is the multiplication of the reinvestment rate times this effect. And this effect, the function you have created, should use as input the value of the security level. That's what you are doing. Okay? Did you understand this? This is perfectly clear. If you were a modeler doing this well paid for Statoil, then you will have to find documentation for what the impact of the security level is on the growth rate. So you will have to interview people, you will ask for historical records and whatever. If you don't find historical numbers in the databases, then you use the best judgment of the experts. So, as we said in the beginning, it's better to be approximately right than exactly wrong. And you are exactly wrong if you neglect this because you say, oh, I don't know that exactly. So leave it out. But then you are neglecting an important effect. So back to the model now. Now we have this table for how much investment of security affects the security gain. And again, we will like to argue what happens. It shouldn't be too different, because if you invest little, you put little resources in the security staff, you have just one person for the whole of Statoil, and perhaps this person doesn't have much authority, then the little investment will not create a big security gain. And again, you will have a similar curve where little investments give little return. Then you start noticing effects. In the end, it becomes more like law of diminishing returns. So let's create this curve here, and it needs a little bit more of explanation. First of all, security investment is a fixed number, and I put here 0.03, making the assumption that no company will spend more than 3%. So I will document this. Assume that 3% investment security resources is the maximum that the company would invest. We assume also that this would translate in maintaining the security level at its optimum value. That is unity. So I can put this in the Word document a little bit bigger so that you can see what I wrote. We're assuming that this is what Statoil will do. 3% of their throughput, they should invest or would invest in security to achieve the maximum security. I don't know if this number is good. Perhaps it's 2%, perhaps only 1%, perhaps it's 5%. Again, if you were a modeler working for Statoil, you will have to find better evidence for the numbers. But here, this is a class exercise, and we assume that this is what we found out empirically. Okay? So, now, later we will vary this. When we simulate, we will change that. Now to the table. Again, it should be a lookup. Lookup. And the graph will look similar. The range is for security from 0 to 0.3%, because we assume that this is the maximum. So make the range for X, the maximum value, 0.03. As to Y, we will assume that it goes up to 0.5. Why 0.5? Remember, 0.5 is the value that corresponds to the inverse of the obsolescence time. We assume it's decaying at the rate of 0.5 per year, because the obsolescence time is 2 years. So the best we can achieve in security gains is to make it as fast again as we are losing security because of changing times, decay of equipment, and so on. And then you should put these numbers here. I'm going to make them a little bit simpler. Apparently, I've been manipulating this with my. So, like this. Which is also a S-curve, but I'm assuming that it is not as steep, not so much like this. I put a curve more, in this case, more like this. So. Again, what I am putting here is, at the moment, just pure guesses. But a modeler working for a consultant company or in the modeling staff of Statoil will have to find evidence for this, the best evidence the modeler can find. In the worst case, simply asking the experts and finding what they would suggest. That's the way we did it, for instance, for mnemonic when we created a model for them on the question of incident response. Have you got the table already? Can I close this? Okay. You click OK. Again, you get the numbers here. You click OK. That's done. And now, the equation for the security gain should be the product, the table, depending on the security investment times the security level. So I'm going to blow this up using Word. That's what the equation should be. Okay, so do you have now all the equations? So now you could simulate this. I don't know what this said from me. Okay, so if you look at throughput, it should be a curve like this. If you look at security, you should get for the security with the values of that we have still perfect security. It doesn't decay. That means we assume that investing here, security investment 0.3 maintains security. My graph, which I'm going to show you in a moment, is comparing the red curve, which is what we had in the previous model, with what we are achieving now. And it is a little bit below because we are assuming that by investing in security, you get slightly lower throughput. That was the assumption that we put here, where the maximum value is not 1 but 0.9. That's why when we simulate, I get this time a slightly lower throughput than I had in the ideal world, where investing in security didn't cost anything. The graphs that I have, I'm going to show you. Control panel. The graph on throughput. I put the title throughput. And the variables that I'm showing is twice the throughput, but with different simulation runs. This one is for this model. This one is for the previous model. So I called the previous model under achievement with only the reinforcing loop. Under achievement reminds me this is an under achievement archetype. And for this, it is under achievement R reinforcing, B balancing, which is the effect of the security. So you can show, compare two different simulations by putting here in the data set different data sets. For security, I put here title security, and I'm showing the security level, and I fix the scale from 0 to 1 here. 0 minimum, Y maximum. And then, using the input-output object, I selected what to show. So, for instance, to show the throughput, I created this, click somewhere here, output custom graph, then I went here, throughput, click OK, then I get this. When I simulate, then I get the same as I had here. Okay, but this was just to show you that it was like this. Do you have the same results? Yes? You see the same, the two on top of each other, because probably you haven't reduced the effect in the table. Or I don't know. What is achieving Erbe loop? Yes. First of all, the security level, I don't know why it is decreasing. What do you have for a security investment?
0.0.
No, for security, you have 0.03.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is decreasing. And for a silence rate, you have 2. Stop the simulation and let's look at the equation for this table. Show me the graph. It looks. You have 0.3, it should be 0.03. Okay, let's simulate now and let's see what happens.
Two different curves here, but one curve in the down.
Still going down. Have you pressed on simulate again? I think you need. Stop this one. It's just a normal simulation. And you still have that.
Okay, let me see.
No, this is correct. This is simulating. It is the old model which is simulating wrongly. So your new model is correct. It is the old model where you are seeing the decay this year. So we will have to open the other model. The previous one, which is the previous model. Where do you have the previous model?
I worked on the same one.
Ah, that's the problem. You have the old, you haven't the old model to compare with. This is some simulation that was not correct. So the problem that you have here in data set, this data set is wrong. This is simply wrong. And that's why you get error. You should have two models with different names in compare. That's the problem that you have. Okay. You will have to go back to the previous model, create it as it was, simulate it, and so on. Okay. You guys, Gerion and Steiner, you are happy? Both? So, yes, that's the problem, because you, the red curve that you are seeing here is from my previous model, which is this one. This one. Only here it looks blue, but that's a different thing. But, current... Actually, current, I call it, but yes, but it should be the same as this one. It's the same. So, this is the curve that I have simulated here. I don't know if I could give it a red color. If I like, that would be interesting. Let me see. Control panel. Full throughput. Modify. Where do I select the color? Data set, label, line, units. Apparently, I don't have enough possibility of choosing which color to use, which is a little bit strange. Okay, so that's what I have. And then when I compare with the new model, I made sure that in the defining the graph here, that I put the data set there as well. So this is the new, this is the old data set, and the data set is what it's called the simulation results file name. In this way I can compare. Now let's experiment a little bit. So the new curve is a little bit below the old one because investing in security reduces a little bit the throughput. It's simply the costs. I have to invest partly in security. And if we were very good modelers, we will be able to tell Statoil how much full security costs. But we will also tell them if you don't do that, then you are going to be hit. And in order to show how to be hit, so we will experiment with investment. Here we have what we assume is the optimum, 3% investment. Let's make it smaller and see what happens. Let's make it 0.2%. And now you see the comparison. You see that security is decaying, we are not investing enough, so after 2 years it offers only half of the protection according to this assumption. And you see here the impact on the throughput. This compared with the best of the possible worlds, the red curve, and now we are significantly below. So after 10 years we will be 50% less than ideal if you do it like this, if you believe in this model. So in this way you can assume, you can turn here this tab and see what is happening, and so on and so on. So if you invest very little in security, then you don't grow at all, perhaps even negative. And as you invest in more and more, you're getting better and better gains. Okay? Here you should click on that and put the minimum and maximum and the increment. These numbers you don't have there, I have put them here. So as to make sure that I do not surpass the maximum investment. Do you see what I am doing here? You have seen that? The numbers? When I click on the slider, I can put the slider settings here, and I can click on make the slider states permanent, modify the model, click OK, and then you have that fixed. And save that. Questions as to the model? Does it make sense to you? It is a very simple model, admittedly, but it is, if you compare now with what we did the last time, which was actually what you see in the here, this is the model we used last time. That was much more complicated. Admittedly, this model has also the effect of actually the model that I have now is a complete one, because we don't only have the problem archetype, we have also the solution archetype. The solution archetype, we have it when we invest in security. I will modify this and make it a bit clearer, put it in a PowerPoint slide so that it is better documented, and then you can spend a little bit of time. I would suggest that at home that you close the slides and try to recreate the model by yourself. Okay? Then I would like to continue with the lecture after this exercise. The first thing I would like to do is to explain to you how we will create these models for a client. So that's what we call group model building. So if you download the slides there, I don't know why I don't see the group model building here. Strange. It has simply disappeared. Very strange. Exercise. Class 2. Okay. I have it as a Word document. Then that's why I didn't see that. So you have this document here. It's very simple. And that explains basically what we do when we model for a client. And the point is, when you are doing a model for a client like mnemonics, Stata, or whatever, there is nobody in the company that knows everything. So if you are doing a model for incident reporting systems for mnemonic, then you will agree with the company, with a team at mnemonics that has knowledge about incident reporting systems. And they turn out to work with this from different points of view. Some of them are more on the design part, some others are more in the running the system, some others are working with mnemonics clients and so on. So we had about five people in mnemonics who worked together with us. And the way we do that is explained in this diagram here. You have the modelers, the people who know how to use VenSim to create a model. But we would like the clients to be model builders without really going and teaching them model building. So the way we do that is that we have a team with facilitators, people who are good at engaging an audience so as to discuss issues and develop consensus. And then we have people who are very good at explaining what is going on. So one person is asking questions and so, some other is drawing, putting things. We put also charts on the table. You have flip charts that stick with plastic, and then you can draw on that. We use very visually the whole room and plaster that with diagrams and so on. We engage the audience. We ask them for an exercise. So we would, for instance, ask them, using a sheet, we give them a normal sheet, A4, put there the stakeholders that would have will be relevant for the question of incident reporting systems. And you put only one stakeholder per sheet, and each of you can put as many stakeholders as you can think of. And then we do a round robin. We say, Steiner, from your list of stakeholders, select the one that you consider the most important and put it on the wall. So Steiner will come here, and we have stickers, but the first sheet. Then Gerion do the same, then Kushbir and so on, until everybody who is there has put them. Then again Steiner, Gerion, and so on. Then again until you have exhausted, you finish. So we have plastered this with names of stakeholders. Then I say, please come to the table, all of you, to the board, and find things that belong together, duplicates, or things that are very related and so on. So we group them and cluster them. And after we achieve that, then we suggest name for the clusters, so it becomes simpler with the names of the stakeholders. And then I will ask you, okay, I would like you now to put an influence, to create a diagram with the stakeholders. Where you show me their interest on the issue and the influence on the issue. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the same. You can have some stakeholder, and then here, who is very, very interested in the issue but has very little influence on how to address the issue. And you may have some that have much power but little interest in the issue. If the company is dysfunctional, then often the person who have a lot of influence are not very interested in some important things. If they are functional, then you should get then something clustered like this. And a dysfunctional organization is more like this. Okay. So we use these exercises so as to chart the organization, find who has influence, who has interest, and so on. With more and more of these exercises, we create an understanding of the problem. And basically, the facilitation model team does these exercises. The group model building exercises that you hear to the left, the expert group is giving us input to this. Then we create a simulation model that we show to the expert group in the next session, and so on, until we have achieved a simulation model where there is full consensus on that. So in reality, it is the client, through the experts that we put on the exercises, who have created a model. They don't know how to do that, but through the exercises, we act as interpreters and create a model for them. And all the time, making sure that there is consensus on that. And once you have the model, we can derive best practices, guidelines, standards, all kind of things in simulation model. So the roles that we have in the facilitation team is the facilitator. That's the person who is very skilled in group processes. Then we have people who are recording, documenting what is going on. We have some modelers, people who are creating the model very quickly. They can be very good and create this online. Then we have typically a person we call the process coach. This person is simply sitting somewhere observing what is going on. And if something is stuck and so on, then this person will come out and say, I see this problem. For instance, Gerion is sitting there and only watching something else. He's not engaged. I'm joking, of course. So why is he not interested? You have to pay more attention to him because he knows a lot about this and that. Then I, as a facilitator, I will try to include Gerion more in this. And I use you just as an example. I could use Steiner and so on. No? So the process coach is to observe what is going on and make sure everybody is contributing. Some people is very talkative, so perhaps Steiner is all the time suggesting things and so on. Then the process coach will say, okay, Steiner will dominate the discussion and so on. Typically, the person who dominates the discussion is the boss. If you have something of very high importance, I use. But in this exercise, it is important that everybody contributes with our knowledge, which is very, you have to have all the aspects of the knowledge and so on. And then typically we have also a gatekeeper. It is normally a representative for the client, so that they are following with this and making sure that what we are addressing is really in the interest of the client and so on. And the data we use is everything that is available, the written documents that the company has, numerical data for measurements and so on, mental data, that is the knowledge that is not codified, and this is very important, that is in the heads of the people. What you achieve by this process of group model building is two things. First of all, it turns out that the client says, that was really useful. Now we understand the problem much better. Just by being involved in the exercise, even if you don't create a simulation model. And then the fact that they get a simulation model that they can use for doing experiments, as we did now. So for instance, we could now ask the model, what happens if I invest that much in security? And if our model was a real model, then it will allow us to get insights into that. The advantage of doing models is that the return on investment is very high. In various areas where such simulation models can be used, it turns out that €1 invested, or 1 crown, or actually 1 million invested, is equivalent to 200 in real life. So by investing 1 million